Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good afternoon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is 4/20, 2023. My name is Brother Tony Bullock, and you are with us live. We are at Westside Vision, my co-host and I, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you with me?
I am here with you, Brother Bullock, and I'm looking forward to a really interesting and fast-moving show. Yes,
indeed. Today's show will be a little bit different than some of the things we've done, but hey, once in a while, it's not bad to have reruns, repeats, and recaps just to remind you of the things we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's been so much going on that we need to kind of touch base and go over some things. So I'm glad we're doing this show.
Yes, indeed. And something I've started to do lately, and just because we live in the city of New York, that's right, or our pastor. I've started to do this thing where I about some of the things that's going on in our city here. Well, for those of us who've been here for a while, Caltrans has decided to make improvements. And with those improvements, letting down Belmont and Clinton. I'll take that back, McKinley. And
yes.
It came up today. Well, what about those of us who like to frequent the zoo and the park, you know, because Chaffee Zoo is one of the biggest on the West Coast, and it gets a lot of visitors. It is known nationwide. Well, the way they have it set up, they figure with the new interchange that's going to be built and connected to exit and make your way back to the park and the zoo, where they're going to put in these different little interchanges and roundabouts. So that you can maneuver in that area.
Right. Exactly. And the reason that they say that they're doing this is because they say it's going to enhance the flow of traffic on 99. And, you know, there's too many on-ramps at Belmont, and there's too many on-ramps at Clinton. So they're going to simplify everything and expand the on-ramp and exits at Olive. I wonder how the residents who live in that area around Roding Park feel about this.
You know, the same thing crossed my mind. And, you know, I'm going to make my business to back into these, what they are talking about. And
exactly.
If this is one of the things that's going to be brought up.
I wonder because the residential areas that surround Roding Park are not very, how do I want to say this? They have a lot of people who don't have really expensive residential areas. They have a lot of hotels and motels in that area that Parkway Drive that are being turned into homes for the homeless. And I wonder if that was part of their thinking that, oh, well, we can do this because these people do not have a lot of political power.
Exactly.
And, yes.
Is it part of a plan to hide that population away from other people who may be looking at the city?
Exactly.
Because remember, our mayor supposedly is the head of some national task force for homelessness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, our illustrious mayor is the same guy who is planning to charge people to listen to his State of the City address. I think he's charging like either $60 or $75 to do that. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Heading up a homeless task force. Wow.
Yeah. That was one of the big deals when he went to the mayor's convention in Washington, D.C. He was the National Committee on Homelessness. And, you know, I said this before, how does a guy who, you know, the city of Fresno has homelessness from one end to the other, north, south, east, and west, but it only seems like the homelessness in the area in the north is the ones that get dealt with a certain way, and the ones in the east and the west and the south, Caltrans, the Highway Patrol, local police, the Sheriff's Department, they roll through there and bulldoze them out and just kind of shoo them to another area.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the west side.
Well, you know, they have, you know, because I don't know if it's because we have Pavarello House and we have a couple of women's shelters, but the thing is that West Fresno should not be a dumping ground for anything that happens in Fresno. I mean, think about it. And I'm, believe me, folks, I am not trying to say that. No, I'm not. But, you know, okay, it's like, okay, if we want to make, build some industrial complexes, let's put it on the west side. If we want to expand our local dump, let's put it on the west side. You know, if we want processing plants or warehouses, let's put it on the west side. And so they're doing the homeless the same way, which is terrible. It's ludicrous. It's terrible.
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, at some point, even Stevie Wonder can see this. Somebody has got to start paying attention. But again, I said in last night's broadcast, we have a city council person who's over our district who is turning a blind eye and not paying attention to anything going on negative.
Uh-huh.
And that's speaking up for the people in the district, at least the black people in the district.
See? And that is going to continue to be a problem. And, you know, Brother Bullock, we need to let people know that, I mean, when we were talking last week or earlier this week about the street name change, since that time, since we did our show, there has been a lot of attention that's being paid to this, and come to find out it's not just black people and people on the west side who are talking about this. There are people talking about historic Armenian town along Ventura, Latinos talking about, you know, not changing the name of Kings Canyon and things like this. And so hopefully the city council members will pay attention to the will of the people, because all of us cannot be wrong about this.
You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. Because it's just not one certain group. Others are starting to come out and speak on this.
Yes.
And making their will known.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, when you mentioned Mayor Dyer, who used to be the police chief, being the head of this homeless task force. I mean, Brother Bullock, this is a guy who was the chief of police and couldn't solve the homeless problem. So I don't understand what made them think that he could do any better as mayor. I don't get it. Somebody needs to explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old, because I'm confused.
And, you know, and I understand exactly where you're coming from, because it's like, how is that even possible? Because, you know, we drive around the city and we go from, because of the way it's set up, we have to go from one end to the other just to get certain things done. And you see the homeless in our travels. You see them on the west side. You see them along Ventura Avenue. You see them along Blackstone.
Yes.
So,
oh, yes.
But see, along Blackstone, now all of a sudden policing the homeless becomes different. It becomes a lot more active because you're going out Blackstone headed towards where? River Park.
That's right. That's right. And heaven forbid, you know, there's something to impede the shopping pleasure of people who go to River Park regularly. So, you know, and this is part of the problem. You know, I have mentioned yesterday during our special edition of West Side Visions that, you know, people on the West Side who are homeowners, we pay taxes too. And we want good service for our tax dollars just like anybody else. But we're not getting it. But we're certainly paying for it.
Yes,
so
indeed.
That continues to be a problem and an issue in Fresno. But you laid it out perfectly, Brother Bullock, because River Park and Northwest and Northeast Fresno get all the attention, protection, and, you know, gratuitous behavior from the city, and we get the crimes. And that really needs to stop.
Well, it's just like yesterday when we did our special edition show during the prayer service and the vigil and memorial service that happened out over at the corner of California and MLK at Zach's Smoke Shop for the young man who got murdered there. You know, all of a sudden, the police are sitting in the parking lot. Three or four police cars are sitting across the street. Two or three police on motorcycle are looping the neighborhood. So again, where is this patrol presence during daily? Why aren't in the parking lot during the daytime just to check things out, looping the neighborhood just to check things out? Why does it always, after someone has lost their life or something major has happened, now you want to come with this big police presence?
That's right. That's right. Because this site is a well-known area for problems. And I'm thinking it was, what, 1 or 2 years ago that a young person got slain at this same location, you know, and there were multiple vigils out there, and the cops were out there for that. And I think for maybe 2 or 3 months, because I live in the area, so I pass by there often, when school let out at Edison High School, they would have one police car sitting there. That lasted for a couple of months. And then after that, goes back to business as usual.
Business as
no
usual.
Police.
So, and you know, that's something, again, you know, we've spoken on this. I will speak on it again. I hold no grudges against anybody, but I don't believe in us who isn't listening to the constituents, turning a blind eye to what's happening in the area, turning a deaf ear to what's happening in the area. And the fact that that person can hold that seat till 2027, they can do major damage to that part of town. And to feel like we owe you because you, quote, unquote, wanted to help spend $150 million in our area. No, that's your job. So you're getting our improvements that we should have gotten Decades ago.
That's right. That's right. And we need to remember that West Fresno has been the least economically developed area in Fresno. And I said this yesterday during our special edition show, and I'm going to repeat it now. Monies have been siphoned off from West Fresno for decades, up to and including the people at money that should have been spent to serve the poor and the homeless at Community Regional Hospital in downtown Fresno. Money was siphoned from there and used to build Clovis Community Hospital. And there was a big investigation about that. Fresno B did a big series about that. These are the kind of political money shenanigans that continue to go on in Fresno. And when are people going to say enough is enough? You know, we need to stop this. And so people are getting tired. We're getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, to quote Fannie Lou Hamer.
Exactly. And, you know, like my grandmother used to say, sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. And Fresno has a real bad habit of that politically. Yes, I understand that the demographics has changed, which is why we have so many Hispanic city council members. They've been, you know, nothing against them. They've been able to get their people to come out and vote. But when you get there, you can't become just about the Hispanic population. You still have to serve of your constituents.
This is true. This is very true. And I have to be honest and say, Brother Bullock, that for the Latino council members that are on there, I expect better from them because I understand that their history in this valley and in this country is not, you know, we have similarities, and that is why my expectations of them are higher as a potential ally to work with Black people. And I don't think I'm wrong in that. And I don't want to be disappointed, but my expectations of them are higher. So
I understand that wholeheartedly.
Yes. I'm hoping that they will understand that and be sympathetic and empathetic to what we are saying about the city of Fresno. And this goes not just for city council, not just for the Board of Supervisors, but also for Fresno Unified School Board. Brother Bullock, we were talking yesterday about an incident that you brought to my attention, and I actually watched the video of this man, and oh my goodness, I don't know if other people have heard about it, but if you could share what you shared with me, I was speechless. I really, really was.
Yes, there was an administrator, and I'm glad you went into that segue. There was an administrator at Sunnyside High School who had an incident with some young ladies who was at one of the labs. And he decided that he would make a phone call to the police, but the phone call really went sideways when he started with the, yes, we're going to need you out here because we have some ghetto girls who are being disruptive, some of those Section 8 people. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what does he really think about Black folks?
Exactly. And this is an educator, y'all. Yeah.
And this is supposed to be an educator. So from what I understand.
That's right. That's right.
From what I understand. And I'm not quite sure because I haven't had a chance to get back to it, but I think he's been suspended.
Yes, he's on administrative leave.
Administrative leave, you know, pending further investigation.
Right.
But while we're talking about Sunnyside, a 10-year-old girl is under arrest, accused of bringing a gun to school in the morning at Sunnyside.
Exactly.
No one was hurt, but the high school went in lockdown about 9:15.
See.
While Harrison Middle School went into secure and teach status shortly after. And, you know, the weapon was recovered, and the student was taken into custody.
Well, there's definitely something happening at Sunnyside. I know that I spoke a little bit earlier today with Reverend Harris, and he said he called Valerie Davis's office, the school board member that represents the Sunnyside district, and they said that it was a personnel matter and that they couldn't discuss it. But there's definitely something rotten going on at Sunnyside. And
something's going on.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I'm talking about upper administration because this guy is a vice principal. So if he's using that kind of language in a phone call to the police, how can we imagine how he's treating students who don't look like him?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, not only Sunnyside, Fresno Unified School District, and you know this to be true, has had several incidents that didn't make any kind of sense happening, from blackface to racist remarks to folks wearing Klan uniforms and trying to play it off as Halloween in the middle of May. Come on now.
Exactly, Brother Bullock.
But yet.
And so, yes. Tell the truth and say the devil.
But yet black students are being sent home or sent to detention or, you know, sent to special education for the least little infraction, and they are being punished 3 to 5 times greater than white students.
That's right. And let me tell you, y'all, you know, and these are things, we're talking about young minds and young hearts or in their formative years. So what does that tell them? That, hey, you know, you are a target. You know, you're being punished because you happen to be black and going to school in the school district. No, it is wrong. And those of us who can see this, who have gone through Fresno Unified School District and can speak on that, are going to continue to talk about this and complain about it until something gets better. But folks, in order for change to happen on the school board, on the city council, we must vote. And I really like the slideshow that Brother Bullock put together for tonight's show, because voting is emphasized in that slideshow. We don't have to take this from these people. We can vote them out of office. Yes, we can.
Yes, indeed. And I will always push y'all to vote. Vote and pay attention to what's going on. Like Sister Reed is good at saying, your vote counts. Your vote is important. Your vote is your...
That's right.
You know, we talk about local issues and our
political muscle, and that's one way to do it is with our vote.
And that is so true.
Yes. Yes. You know, for those of you who are listening and you want to call in, please do so at 563-999-3043. Once again, that is 563-999-3043.
You know, Sister Reed, I'm going to bag up for a minute here. You know, he's talking about the vice principal at Sunnyside and what he had done. Now, he's been the vice principal out there since 2015. This is 2023. His annual salary is $139,993.
Yes.
And he can't act no more professional than that.
Yeah, and we're paying him to do that. Our tax dollars, our residential tax dollars are paying him to do that, to mistreat our children and to talk crazy to them and to call the police on them. Yeah.
Now, before that, he was at Bullard and from 2009 to 2015, and he was first hired by the district in 2008, and he was at Wawona, and he was a guidance learning advisor.
Oh, so my God.
How and who was he guiding, and who was he teaching, and what?
What damage did he do?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that not only police officers, but educators need to be screened a little better. Yes, they work hard to get their credential and everything, but everybody does not need to be around children. And I can say that quite honestly for some of the advice that I've gotten from educators over the years about what my educational potential was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You know, don't think about college. You know, think about secretarial school. You know, learn how to type, and maybe you can get a good job. Luckily for me, I had, you know, a strong family presence. I had a strong mom who's like, no, you going to college. And so I did. And so you did. And so many of us do. But it's not because we got a lot of encouragement. I mean, there were some, we had some very good teachers at Edison, very good teachers. But we had some that, you know, before we even got to Edison, that I remember, you know, in elementary school when they started busing kids from the west side across town. And I remember teachers, you know, picking and choosing who they thought was, you know, a good candidate for that.
Yeah,
I didn't make that cut, and I'm glad I didn't. But anyway,
you know
what?
I wasn't going to make that cut. We had already had that discussion.
Yes, indeed.
And
yes,
he, you know, I got to give, he say, you've been on the west side this long, you're going to stay here, you're going to finish here. He say, because same education you can get on that other side of town, you can get right over here.
That's right.
And you know, that was a true statement. Because like
you
just said, we had some great teachers. We may have some counselors that kind of lacked it in certain positions, but what made up for them, were the teachers that we had, because the teachers took it upon themselves.
That's right.
In that middle and pump us up and give us what we needed.
That's right. And they gave us a confidence in ourselves that we hold till this day. And so, you know, we can go any place in the world and feel confident in our abilities to, you know, to mix with people, to deal with people, to talk about different subjects, because we have that foundation. And so I'm eternally grateful. Between those teachers and our parents, yes, they did a good job.
They did a good job. They hung with us and made sure. There's nothing you can't deal with.
That's true. But, you know, Brother Bullock, I really want to ask a philosophical question, and that question is, what is this world coming to? I mean, we have a young boy, 16-year-old young brother, Yarl, who goes to the wrong house by accident and gets shot. We have some other young people in upstate New York who drive up to the wrong driveway, and the girl gets shot. Now, this young brother, Darrell, is African-American, and his shooter happened to be white. But with the young girl, both the shooter and the victims, because she died, were white. This country has gone this dang gun crazy.
With the Yarl shooting, Mr. Lester was in court, and one of his family members spoke for him and said, well, you know, he's an old man, and he's scary because he sat there, and he bought into that disinformation that was being given out by Fox News, and he bought into that, you know, those people are always out there, and you see one, they're coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that, like you say, where is the country headed? What does that say about certain news media and certain organizations out there who are mm-hmm. out there spinning tales about, once again, the dangerous
right.
darkie? The dangerous
That's
darkie.
Right.
He is coming for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And Fox News really should be listed as a form of entertainment because it's not news, it's propaganda. It's what it is.
And that's exactly what it is. It's propaganda. They beat us to the drum. Now, thanks to this 700 and let's just say that big money they're paying out, several people are getting fired. Of course, the first one to get fired.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I understand why. Now, the first one to get fired, of course, was the black guy. Last hired, first fired.
All right now. Yeah. No surprise here. Mm-hmm.
Behind him came Petey and one other guy. And you know, I'm like, I wonder what Judge Jeannie gonna do now about getting.
See,
there were times, you know, she was sitting up there. You could tell she three sheets to the wind.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
on national TV.
But yeah,
yeah.
Places like Fox, OAN, and a few others, they're dangerous. Because they're out there spreading the world's worst garbage. It's like these attacks on transgender people right now. As you know here locally, the members of a church were targeted by the Proud Boys.
Right. They left their calling card sticker after they broke out all these windows and did all this damage.
Yes, that was the church. Church, which is over in Central Fresno, and we want to send a shout out to them and let them know that we are praying for you and you are blessed for the service that you are giving your community. And don't think you're
Absolutely.
Out there alone. There are people that stand with you.
Absolutely. Say that because it is true. Nobody has a premium on God or Jesus. No. You don't have special privileges for the Almighty. They exist for all of us, for all of us. So well done, Brother Bull.
To go target a church because they attend to the needs of the LGBTQ and work with gender people and diverse identification, there's no reason for you to attack a church for doing something that you're afraid of.
That's right. And then try to cloak yourself in some sort of, you know, religious nationalism. That's BS. I call BS on that. What you're spewing is hate, straight up. You're spewing hate.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
calling that out. We're calling that out.
And what gets me is, you know, the church believes that they were victims of a hate crime, but of course the Fresno Police Department has said, well, the sticker left behind isn't enough evidence to show proof of a hate crime.
Oh, my God.
So, like you and I were talking earlier, what that tells me is somebody on the Fresno PD, high ranking in a position of authority, is a member of that organization.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And I would not be surprised.
And let's make it clear, folks, we're not saying that, I mean, let me put it to you this way. when they started doing the investigations of the January 6th riot and chaos in Washington, D.C., come to find out that many in that crowd were either retired police officers, reserve police officers, or current police officers. So it does not, you know, have to be a big stretch of the imagination to believe that there could be some on Fresno PD. We're just saying, hey, you know, it could happen.
Yes,
it could happen. So, I mean, but people, you know, they have to understand, the public understands, people are losing their lives behind this kind of stuff. People, I mean, you shouldn't have to die because you're gay. You should, you know, from somebody's bullet and somebody's hate. You shouldn't have to die because you are transgender. You shouldn't have to die because of somebody else's hate. And that is what, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're saying here right now. You know, this country has a lot of problems, and instead of us going forward in our belief systems and in our actions, we seem to be going backwards and getting worse about certain things. So we can do better. We have to do better, make this a better place to live for our children, because it's not about those of us who are alive now. We're talking about the generations that are coming behind. What are we leaving them? What are we leaving
them? Exactly. And for young people, that's like today, the House Republicans passed a bill to ban transgender women and girls from school sports teams. Okay? Now, they passed it on a party line, 219-203. And,
right.
But I can guarantee you that the Democrat-controlled Senate will make sure it will not get taken care of. And that if it does, I can guarantee you the White House will veto that bill.
I'm sure they will, Brother Bullock, and I'm glad that you laid it out like that, because Hakeem Jeffries said that, you know, instead of trying to pass this terrible bill, why don't we let the people who understand elite sports and elite athletes put their guidelines and precautions in place instead of just trying to flatline the whole thing. And I agree with Brother Jeffries. You know, let people who understand how elite sports work do their job to protect, you know, female women athletes. Let them take care of that. So, yeah, but you're absolutely right.
Let's grab this incoming call.
All right, now.
Good afternoon and good evening. You're on West Side Visions with Brother Bullock and Sister Eileen Reed. Who are we?
Good evening, soldiers. How are you this evening?
All right,
good evening,
now.
Pastor Harris.
All right, Pastor Harris on the line.
Just listening to you guys show as I drive down the street, and it's finally good to listen to something that has substance in this Mississippi Fresno. And we really appreciate you taking the time out to create the shows. I know firsthand what it takes to create the show and publicize it and market it, and you do all that, and then the show cuts off. So give thumbs up to you all, you and Sister Eileen, Brother Tony. I won't be long. I just wanted to thank the community for coming out yesterday to the prayer circle we had at Marcus, Martin Luther King in California, where we had a young brother who was gunned down Sunday, right during my installation, Sunday around 5 o'clock. And it was when the report came back to me that this had took place. We were happy because of me being installed as the senior pastor, freeing me And then I was saddened because a life was taken unjustly.
Right.
And I told my leadership team that Monday night that it was important that we go as a ministry, which is only a block from our ministry there, right in West Fresno, that we go and we pray.
Yes.
There's a death angel that's running around in West Fresno. Kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, we are a ministry that's in your face. We are a ministry that's on the sidewalk. We're a ministry to speak truth to power. And just as much as I speak out against police brutality, I speak out against black-on-black crime. And the power that we have is in God, that we need the encouragement to say the right words to our children right now. We as a culture, I'm saying that we do not know how to communicate with each other.
No.
Then going to picking up guns and all that type of stuff. We were taught this behavior. We were taught this behavior by the Europeans. We are loving people, but we got around a certain ethnic race of folk people, and they taught us this. And you see now today across the country that we're having killings. Look at Chicago, you know, 40, 50 shootings every day. Lives are being taken. And so, you know, me and my folk, we went out and I wore my Sunday robe, felt led to do that. I got my young people, my young men, because I want them to understand that they have an obligation and they need to be right in the middle of the crossfire so that they can see the pain and hurt. And then when they hear us talk as elders, encouraging them, it will make more sense, right? And you can see it on TV. You can, you know, somebody can tell you, but when you're right there looking at the blood on the asphalt, it just resonates differently. And so I had our young men with my red, black, and green flag, because I don't do anything without my flag. And I told them to follow me around as I laid oil on the ground, the buildings. We also had businesses ask me to lay, put, pray for their. We went
and you and
one
of the people as well. Didn't you, Rob?
Yeah. Huh?
I said you anointed people as well.
Yes, yes. People in the community, people in businesses. And that, and I didn't know, you know, to show you how the spirit, I didn't know that the family was going to be there that day as well. But it all worked out, you know, where we were all there as a community. And so I just wanted to thank everyone for coming out to support that. I want to thank Brother Tony and you, Sister Eileen, for at the last minute creating a blog talk show for us out there yesterday. I really, really appreciate that, so that we can let the world know what's going on here in Mississippi, Fresno. And, you know, there were so many police out there. It was just, wow.
There was one.
You know.
And they were
guys
out there for a long time, too. Yes, they were out there for a long time because even after it got dark and it was about 8:30, I passed by the location and they had their lights blinking. And there were about four or five police cars out there. So, yes, you're absolutely right, Rare.
So, again, I just wanted to thank everyone. Now, this Saturday at 2 o'clock at my place, we'll be having Earth Day. 9 a.m. to 1:30 or 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. And Earth Day, we're going to be planting trees. We're going to be picking up paper. We're going to be planting our garden. Fresno Freedom School is leading this Earth Day right in West Fresno. We have a compost program there as well. And we're going to be doing some spring cleaning. And so we have volunteers and different people who are coming out. And if anyone want to come out and, you know, be with us, we have the Raging Grannies. We'll be there again, singing some songs. They also told me they got a rap song, so I'm waiting to hear that. And so we just want to have fun. I'm going to be doing a little barbecuing and, you know, making sure everyone is full and, you know, eating well. And so so it's going to be fun. So come on out. But at 2 o'clock, I have called for a roundtable discussion in regards of this last situation and killing that has happened. We need to have a conversation. We need to dialogue as elders and young people and see what are the marching orders now. Do we sit back and do nothing? Do we have a Coke and a smile? Do we get in a recliner and keep watching a basketball game, playoffs? Or what do we need to do to resonate? We are in distress. We are in an emergency state of mind. We're losing our children. School system, as I heard you all earlier talk about what happened today, and I want to talk about that too. So we need to be burning the midnight oil right now. You know, brother Tony, mother, my mother, Sister Aline, mother, they paid their dues. They passed the baton to us now. And the question is, what are we going to do with the baton? Are we going to drop it? Are we going to carry it? We're going to make the strategic changes that need to be made in the black community here in Fresno? Are we just going to whine and it's all they fall? You know, we have to do something now, not tomorrow, now, like yesterday, because we're so far behind in the relay. It looks like we're in the lead right now. And so I'm just not going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. We'll have a real discussion on Saturday. You know, y'all know me. I don't care about stepping on toes and all that. Sometimes toes need to be stepped on, need to be crushed, if that what it takes to bring peace in our community. Because right now we're living in a wild, wild west, and nobody is safe right now.
That's
so
true.
2 o'clock Saturday. Brother Tony mentioned about 806 Collins here, 806 Collins, Fresno, California, over by Frank A's Ballpark, 806 Collins at 2 o'clock, Freedom School, Earth Day from 9 to 1:30 a.m. Come on out. We have food. We'll have some fun. I wanted to talk real quick, and I'll be very brief to your listening audience. I don't think people really understand what the hell is going on in Mississippi, Fresno. I really don't think you understand, because 2 years ago, there's a culture in our public school system here in Fresno is to demonize black children, demonize our culture. But the crazy part is when Martin Luther King birthday come around every year, Fresno Unified is out there putting wreaths on Dr. King monument and all this type of stuff. But when that's all over with, there we go demonizing children, making fun of them, making fun of our culture. Now, let me rewind back to 2 years ago when I dealt with the blackface at Bullard High School. Some little white girl on the cheerleading team wanted to paint her face black and thought it was very funny, very funny, okay, to mock us as black people. A white girl on the cheerleading squad painted her face black, and it went viral.
Yep.
I believe Ingram's daughter was a cheerleader at the time, and we wanted the girl removed off the cheerleading team. But do you know that the Bullard, this guy named Sladek and all, you know, he's a former trustee of Bullard, you know, he went in there and made the cheerleader girls cry, talk about, y'all need to stop talking about this. I don't want to hear about this no more, blah, 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 blah. But see, it was dealing with black people. Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
As long as it's us, as long as it's us, mm-hmm. we don't want to hear it. We don't want to talk about it. You can mock them all you want. You can paint your face black all you want. It doesn't matter because we don't have no respect for them anyway. So we,
yeah.
so we dealt with that.
Yeah, we
I had to deal with it. But Eileen was with me. We organized a protest at their first game in Clovis. And even the Clovis black people in Clovis did not even want to support us. They were more concerned about their son getting a scholarship going to UCLA. Hell with the blackface. My son, we're going to have scouts here tonight. We're going to have scouts here tonight. And Reverend Harris, you coming over to our city, Clovis. We ain't got nothing to do with the blackface situation. That's Bullard High School over there. You should be protesting when they play in Fresno. Don't come out here to Clovis. Well, we went to Clovis anyway.
Yeah, we did.
And we stood for the ancestors. We stood for those ancestors who were whipped, who was hung, who was lynched, who was mocked, who was raped. We stood for our ancestors to say there is a group of black people in this Mississippi County that you will not run over.
Mm-hmm.
And we were heard. And see, what you have to understand is if something is said about you and you don't counter it, then people are going to start believing, well, maybe it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So
and we're
that's,
talking about
that's,
religion. Yeah.
That's
right.
Thing. Then we go to the situation where we have the white young lady who ran over the young brother at Hoover.
Mm.
Now, we know she didn't work at President Unified, but it's still a white sister, still dealing with the white privilege. Remember the old saying, if you're white, you're right. If you're black,
get back.
Sit in the back. Get back. And we're dealing with the systemic institutionalized racism that is still Jim Crow-ish in this county. And here it is, this sister can run over a Fresno Unified young man and kill him. And she just had more privileges than anybody that I ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Took off, yeah, hit and run, yeah.
But then let's go back to Bullard again. Then we have a white kid that goes in a gymnasium weight room and put a KKK hat on, uniform on.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? See, we're dealing with a culture that hates black people. And let's move fast forward to the principal who socked an autistic kid in Fresno Unified. See, I'm telling you stuff that is happening to black children, not black adult males and adult women, to black children who socked a not 11-year-old autistic kid and caught it on camera with a closed fist. And do you know that this man is still on administrative leave all the way back from last year? He's still getting paid. He's still on the payroll. But he gets better. Because after he socked this kid, Fresno PD said, well, we didn't know this happened. Nobody told us. So here comes an investigation now. You know what he do? Because of white privilege, he resigns from his job so he don't get fired. He turns around, goes to Tranquility, and Tranquility Unified hires him.
Yes.
After he done assaulted our little 11-year-old son who traumatized that little baby. Tranquility Unified says, CNN calls Tranquility Unified, what are you guys doing? What do you mean, what are we doing? This guy you just hired socked a black kid. Well, he didn't know about that. Then I took video. Guess what they did? Put him on administrative leave with pay. See, these are crooks that's getting paid by our tax dollars that's doing black children wrong.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Then to talk about fast forward again to this thing that just happened at Sunnyside High School. how a vice principal who's getting paid $139,000 a year has the audacity to open his gums and call our little black girls ghetto and Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
See, you living in a town that hates black people. And now, as Malcolm X said, the chicken is coming home to roost now. Everybody is starting to see now how black people are being hated. And we hate you adults, and we so hate your children. Because this is how we're going to talk to them. We're going to sock them. We're going to assault them. We're going to say all these derogatory things to take down their, tear down their integrity, their character, and their community. That's all I have to say to y'all. But, you know, it's this town is just a cesspool of crap that hates black people. Thank you all. We'll talk to you all soon.
Well, Pastor, you know, you hit it on, you hit the nail on the head. And we know what happens here locally, and we see what's happened nationally because of young Brother Yarl. Mm-hmm. There was no need for that young man to get shot. But again, white privilege. And white privilege played out in court today with that very same thing. He's old. He's afraid. You know, he bought into misinformation. Don't want to hear it. He's a criminal, period. Point blank.
No more excuses. No more
excuses. We do appreciate you stopping in tonight. And, yes, Earth Day is this weekend on the 22nd. We will be in at 9:30 p.m. over at 806 Collins on the Golden West Side of Fresno at Free AME. Y'all make sure y'all get out there and support us.
Yes, please come. And, hey, if you have anything for the compost heap, bring that too. Bag it and bring it. We're there for you.
Now, Pastor, you definitely get some rest because I know you've been on the move.
All right. Y'all take care.
Y'all better check my porch, see if I got something out there.
Thank you so much, Greg, for calling in. Thank you for all you do.
Yes, we do. We appreciate you.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But you know, Sister Reed,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say everything that Reverend Harris laid out, everything that you and I have been talking about, Brother Bullock, just goes to show we are not making up this. We are explaining to you all in real time things that have happened, that are still happening, and that we don't want to continue to happen here in Mississippi Fresno. So we don't have to tell stories about this and make things up. This nightmare is real. And as long as we have a voice, we're going to continue to talk about it and bring it to people's attention because we have to change things. And, you know, we have to do it together as a people. And I'm calling on all of Fresno and all and folks around the nation to focus your attention on Fresno for a little bit, and if you want to, call into Fresno City Hall and let folks know. Call into Fresno Unified and let folks know, just like we're doing here, because enough is enough. We're talking about the future of our children, and we're not going to let that go.
And no, we can't because, you know, speaking for myself, I have more years in front of me. The time that I have left, I'm going to try to do the right thing and help you. It's not going to be do as I say, not as I do, but we're going to get you to try to understand that there's consequences for the things that you do and the things that may go on. But we're going to stand tall with you so that you understand there is a brighter day and a better way. Because sometimes young people will give up hope because they feel like, no way out of the situation I'm in, so I might as well, you know, go left and do something crazy. But that's why we as have to stand in the stead and in the void for them and with them. So, you know, those of you who may be listening to our show, or you may go back in live, you know, back in archives, please do that and call us from time to time. You know, you can give us a call at 563-999 4-3.
Yes.
We're not trying to change anybody's opinion. We're not trying to sway anybody's will. But we just want you to know, hey, what we talk about is real. And, you know, after this show tonight, I'm going to be honest with you. That's all I got left. I definitely appreciate those who listen, who go back and check it out for yourself. That's all we do, because everything we talked about, you can go back and verify. All you got to do is a little research.
That's true. That's true. Please go back into the archives. Listen to the show. Listen to our special edition, because that was pretty powerful, the things that happened out there yesterday, Brother Bullock. And we were there live and in person as witnesses and prayer partners.
Yes, we were. And, you know, like Pastor said, it was a need for us to go out there, and it was. It really was. You and I both have been members of this community since our itty-bitty years, since we were in grade school. And we have watched it go through its ups and downs. But the West Side is still standing. Though they try to tear us down, the West Side is still standing. And I'm going to always speak for the West Side. I'm always be there for it, because it was always there for me.
Amen. Amen. So, yes.
So with that being said, Sister Reed, anything else you want to drop on them?
No, you know, Brother Bullock, between yesterday and today, I have said just about all I have to say. And so if we're ready to take it home, people know what I'm going to say to them, that this is about a mindset, and we need y'all. We need you to stay black until we get back with you.
That right there is facts. And I'm going to tell you, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, please take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them licensed and registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. And I also want you to keep your loved ones close by, nearby. Hug them, love them, and know that they mean something. Everybody take care of one another. And like we say, nationwide, Earth Day is April 22nd. So y'all go out there and get involved, and we'll holler.
Yes. All right.